Station of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Welcome on in, welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. My name is David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Busy day today here on the Hub. We're going to get to the SDGA Sanford International Series. That's officially underway for the boys and girls out there. That was down south yesterday at Dakota Dunes. They'll be at the Bluffs here today. They're in Vermilion. Had some amateur baseball from yesterday. And pen to paper for seven new Northern State men's hoopers. We'll talk about that. And also some Stanley Cup talk, I'm sure, towards the back half of the show as time permits. Panthers and Orioles, it wasn't very close last night as Florida now takes a 2-1 series lead. And a pretty sparse Tuesday schedule with the Aberdeen Smitties back in action here today, taking on the Huron squad at 5 and 7 o'clock here tonight. Plus, oh, by the way, the head coach of the Class B state champion Cardinals of Duel, Sarah Hagberg. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour here on FSA. David Tewksbury alongside Matt McClure. Cobra, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing today, man?
Doing well. Happy Tuesday here, and had the day off there yesterday, just spending some time with my daughter. And parents were in town here this last weekend, which was nice to have. And anybody out there who has kind of this time of the year, and they're like, yeah, do I take that day off? I don't know. Just take the day off. You know, we work so hard as Americans, you know, regardless of what your job is, whether you work in the restaurant business or you're a dentist, a doctor, a lawyer, radio guy, whatever. We work so hard as people. And if you have an opportunity to take a day off here or there to celebrate your family, just do it.
I agree with you 100%. And for us in the radio business, the sports guys, this is kind of the off season, if you will. Obviously, we got to focus on the morning shows and things of that, this show and all that. But if you have that opportunity, definitely take it. I'm with you on that there, too.
No question about it. And especially guys like us that are going to have a lot of time away from family anyway. You know, you're on the road with Ron Colley. You're on the road with Northern State. You know, you have time away from family. So to spend that crucial time with your kids, would encourage anybody out there to go ahead and do so. I know it's one of those situations where sometimes people feel guilty about taking a day off. I don't feel guilty anymore. I used to feel guilty about that sort of thing. I don't anymore. And it's just like, I'm good here.
Yeah, I was the same way. I really was. It was like I always felt guilty, but now I've kind of learned that, you know, where I'm at, I live far from home, friends, family, that kind of thing. So if I need to take a couple days or a day or whatever, it's not a big deal. And we work hard, like you said.
Absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you there, but that should be our new tagline. The Sports Hub, take a day. We took a day there on Friday to play a little golf.
Yeah, 5-under, tied for 21st.
Oh, man. We had a lot of fun, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we really did. It was a good day out there. It really cleared up. It was a little chilly to start, and then everybody was like, hey, I got to take off the hoodie by the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we left a couple putts out there. I said it yesterday during the show. We just had a too many 15 to 20 footers. We had a nice eagle, though. That eagle. How about that second shot from Club Pro Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I mean, we were talking after. It sounds different when he hits the ball, doesn't it?
It does.
It just got that sound. He's a ball player. That's for sure.
He is an absolute pro. And there were some shots that I'm sure that he would like to have back. But he had probably like two or three of those. I had like 19 of those. on a good day. So, no, he was awesome. Doc was great. You were great. I think we all had a good time. I had a pretty good drive on hole 11. That was my shot of the day.
Yeah, outdrove me on that one.
Yeah, I felt really good about
that.
Wow,
you drilled that ball. That was a great shot.
Yeah, it was kind of like the, what did you say, the Happy Gilmore? Yeah. Somebody's closer.
Yeah, Tukes was about 10 to 15 yards closer than I was.
Hey, man, every blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So had a lot of fun there on Friday for sure. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Get to the jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And a big shout out to Northern State Football and the professional ball busters, the professional ball breakers out there.
They were great.
On hole 12, man, those guys were lambasting us and they were getting into us. And they had a smile on my face. And I I'm not a very good golfer in the first place. But the fact that those guys got me going laughing on the tee, my shot was going to be terrible. I just knew it. It was coming. And I'll be honest. This is, of course, radio after all. But for those of you that are watching the Facebook feed, smash that like button. I'm a pretty pale guy. I am. I'm wearing pants all day, every day. And some of the guys were like, yeah, get out in the sun. I won't kill you. Those guys were hilarious, and of course, after my bad shot, they're like, yeah, why don't you stick to broadcasting games? Those guys were outstanding. So a big shout-out to some of those offensive linemen there on hole number 12.
Yeah, they had some really good chirps, and yeah, I was laughing when I was up on the tee as well. I got to say, they were better this year than they were last year. The chirps, so those guys, big shout-out, not throwing any shade at last year's guys, but those guys set the bar. That was pretty good from those guys. They were really good.
Had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun with those guys for sure. But, man, I thought we would have been just a little bit better than tied for 21st.
Well, I think there was a three-way tie for first.
Yeah.
16 under. That's incredible.
Really good.
Then they had the putt-off. I don't know who won the putt-off, but there was a putt-off.
I think Insurance Plus and somebody else won the putt-off.
Yeah.
Double check on that.
But, yeah, they did it on the practice screen. How about Doc with two putts in a row there on the one of the games? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was for the Crown Royal.
Yeah, the raffle.
He didn't win that, nor did I. That was the only good shots we had from a putting green perspective all day. It was on the putting green for a practice for one of them games. But, no, had a great time there on Friday, and a big shout-out to John Murdy and the staff over there at Lee Park doing an outstanding job as that course is in immaculate
shape. Yeah, it's in
shape.
Prime condition right now. I mean, that moisture at the beginning of the season, remember we had like over 3 inches of rain?
Yeah.
That's doing – it's in great. If you haven't been out there and you want to get out and golf, it's in some really good condition right now.
Would encourage you to do just that. Well, here we are. As you mentioned, it's kind of our off season to a certain degree. So when we get to the jump, I kind of look for different things out there, like this date in sports history. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of these that are very, very interesting. Back in 1880, way back in the day, MLB's Boston Red Caps, they had an outfielder named Charlie Jones. He became the first to hit two home runs in one inning, both off of a guy named, get this, Tom Poorman. P-O-O-R-M-A-N. Tom Poorman or Poorman. 19-3, your final score there over the visiting Buffalo Bisons there. So two home runs in one inning, and it's appropriate that the pitcher, his name was Poorman or Poorman.
Well, they batted around, and that guy had a nice day at the dish there back in the 1800s.
Over Mr. Poorman. Back 20 years, or make it 12 years after that, I wanted to toss this one out there because you're a Baltimore guy, Baltimore Orioles fan.
Yeah.
Baltimore catcher Wilbert Robinson. I know you remember a lot about Wilbert Robinson, especially from 1892. He set a Major League Baseball record. He went 7-for-7 in a one single nine-inning game. The Orioles routed the Cardinals that day, 25-4, your final tally.
Wow, 7-for-7. Wonder if he was close to hitting for the cycle or just had like 7 singles. That would have been funny. Just 7-for-7 with 7 singles.
Boring. But he did it. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Oh, by the way, here we are in the latter stages of spring. Not quite summer, but we're getting there slowly but surely. This is mini camp time. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the NFL guys reporting from minicamp, and there are players out there that say, you know, minicamp, just not for me. And you get a lot of these organizations that fine these players for not showing up to minicamp. So some of the tallies have come out for the first day of fines. $17,462 for a first day fine. You're out for 2 days. $34,925. Third day of fines, $52,358. All told, for 3 days of not going to mandatory minicamp, you're going to be fined over $104,768. And I'm thinking to myself, I am in the wrong profession. You are in the wrong profession. Us radio folk are in the wrong profession. We're not. Can you imagine just not showing up for work for 3 days?
Yeah.
And you're getting fined over $100,000. Imagine that.
And these guys are. That's nothing to these guys.
Call them fun coupons.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll get there when I get there. No big deal. Are you kidding me?
Oh, must be nice.
Must be the life.
And you talked about this yesterday on The Jump as I was listening in. I'm out there with my daughter on our tricycle. Got The Jump on my phone. Listening on the Hub City Radio app, mind you. You were talking about this yesterday. In Adam Silver's first year as commissioner, they removed the playoffs and finals decals on the floor. And I'm just wondering to myself, why? There's no... I can't believe I'm going to say this word because it's all over social media. There's no aura for this. It's like you've got a game in January, like you said, for a play-in tournament or that... What's that?
Yeah, the NBA Cup. They got the different Cup. Jerseys. They got different courts. Everything else. They got the NBA Cup logo in center court. We can't do anything for the NBA Finals. Instead, we get a 480p... AI, blurry, Larry O'Brien trophy that's not even aligned correctly.
Like, who okayed that idea? Who greenlit that idea? Like, at some point in time, you know, as a commissioner, you got all these sheets to sign, and, oh, this is a good idea, bad, whatever. And I'm sure you got a secretary that probably does, an autofill or whatever. But, like, this should be on Adam Silver's desk. Like, do you want to take the finals off the floor?
What? Just sign it. Just sign it. It's fine.
Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
To me, it just doesn't have any big game feel whatsoever.
No juice.
No juice. It's just like some random game. You don't even see finals anywhere outside of a patch that's on the back of the jersey. You can't even see the patch. There's nothing. The presentation of the NBA finals is awful. The games have been okay. I mean, you see the Tyrese Halliburton game winner. I think the teams, I'm cool with the teams and the game by itself. I think there's the intensities there. Like, how about, remember those old cutouts they do? Mark Jackson would be like, may I have this dance during the commercial? And hand down, man down, like with the old school, like, add a commercial break song. We don't even get that. It's like, here's the latest Kendrick song under a highlight. I mean, come on, man.
It's just not good. It's just not good. And, you know, far be it for me to harken back to the 90s and a simpler time. But, I mean, you look at the old Bulls. You got the NBA Finals decals right there on the floor. By the way, that's just a cool little half-court decal there with the basketball and the Bulls logo pressed on it. Multiple... I don't know. It was better back in the day.
How about when you go to the Lakers, Celtics?
The massive
Larry O'Brien thing
that was
in the
great.
Middle. That was awesome. Do that again.
It's not hard. It's hard to screw it up, but they managed a way to screw it up.
I can't believe they screwed it up because over the last 2 years, they're trying to make the game more watchable with this in-season tournament thing. With the All-Star game, they changed the format again with the All-Star game, USA versus World. You give every team different courts for an in-season tournament game. But in the biggest series of your NBA season, the final two teams left of the NBA Finals, you got nothing.
Got nothing. That's unbelievable. Speaking of
make it make sense.
I know. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Hey, but speaking of unbelievable, another on this date in sports history, let's travel back to the year 2000. Shaquille O'Neal, he turned out to be a pretty good NBA player. He had 40 points, 24 rebounds, and more impressively, 21 missed free throws that day. From the free throw line, get this, 18 of 39 from the free throw line. On this day in sports history, 40, 24, and 21 missed free throws. So he, in theory, could have had 61 points that day if he made all of his free throws. But can you imagine 39 free throw attempts in a game? That was the old Hack-A-Shaq.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. That probably started the Hack-A-Shaq era. Yeah. And now everybody, you see it even in today's game. You get a bad free throw shooter. There was a guy on the Knicks who couldn't make free throws, Mitchell Robinson, and the Pacers were doing Hack-A Robinson based off of the Hack-A-Shaq.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that moment, when he was missing free throws, it's carried over even to today's game, to a sense.
It really has. It's pretty wild. And no, by the way, for what it's worth, the Lakers beat the Pacers that day, 111-104. So, a little FYI for you there, the more you know.
At least they won, right?
At least they won. I'm guessing that was a finals game, too, because they played each other. I think that was late 90s, early 2000s. That probably would have been a finals game.
Yeah.
Would that have been Reggie Miller's last year?
Yep.
He had Mark Jackson on that team.
Yeah.
Rick
yeah.
Smits and some of those. Was Smits on that team?
I think so. He might have been. He was on a couple of those teams.
Yeah.
I think he was on the team that lost to the Bulls in 98.
I think so.
I don't know if he was there 99, though.
Travis Best. Remember that name?
No, I don't.
That's a callback. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some SDGA Sanford International Series on the golf side of things, as well as Northern State men's basketball players putting pen to paper, plus Sarah Hagberg, head coach of the Dual Cardinals softball squad. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show. Sarah Hagberg of Dual, she'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. SDGA Sanford International Series now underway, day one in the books. Aberdeen's Olivia Braun sitting four shots off of the first place lead there after day one. All players were above par for the first day. Katie Bettsworth of Dakota Dunes, basically in her own backyard, in first place there, an 8 over 80. Course played pretty tough, pretty chilly temperatures there yesterday. I was out there, like I said, with my daughter on her tricycle, and I was like, dang, I darn near need pants out here. It was pretty cold out, but Braun would pick up a couple of birdies on the day, three of them, as a matter of fact, but unfortunately sprinkling in a slew of bogeys and double bogeys, maybe still riding that high from the state championship, but, you know, you got to wipe that slate clean. But, you know, still, she's in within striking distance of first place there. Only four shots off of first. Another player from the Hub City, Claire Crawford. She's also partaking in the two-day event. She sits tied for 10th place after day one, 17 over 89 for the first day. Monday, of course, day one. Day two is today. That'll be in Vermilion at the Bluffs. Check out the leaderboard. You can view it on our website, hubcityradio.com. That's on the girls' side of things. Locally of note, on the guys' side, you've got Lars Tweet of Woolsey. He's in 12th place, a 9 over 81. Cole Brust of Aberdeen, a 10 over 82. Gavin Colson, of course, of Sully Buttes there out west in Oneida, 11 over 83. He's in 23rd place. Lots of other local athletes. You can all check it out on our website, hubcityradio.com. But, you know, that's just the thing is, if you're Aberdeen Central and specifically on the Olivia Braun side of things, and even Claire Crawford too, hey, you're almost there at the top of the mountain. Talking about Crawford, you got to play high-intensity golf to get right back there, and this is a great first step.
No doubt about it, and you mentioned it. You go right from the state tournament to playing in another high-level competition and competitive golf here at this tournament here. That's what you want to see. You got to just shake off what you did last week because, really, last week, yes, it's impressive, but you just got to keep moving forward. These gals, these guys are trying to get better, and this is how you get better during the summer, playing competitive golf. There's a leaderboard. It's a two-day tournament. That's what it's about at the end of the day, right? You're going to have to play when you get to back to the high school season, 2 days. So being able to have a two-day tournament like this during the summer is big time. And what you can see is these guys are really into golf that are in these tournaments. Like, hey, we're focusing on getting better. You know, sometimes guys are like, hey, we'll take some time. We had a busy season. No, these guys and gals, they wanted to get right back to it. And I'll tell you, the course did play a little bit tough. Just looking at the girls' side, there's going to be some shakeup in that leaderboard for today as well. I mean, there's going to be somebody you got to think that's going to get some separation, or I think it could be pretty close down the stretch.
Of course, you had Rylan Horning there of Rapid City winning the crown there in Class A. That was it last week or technically? Oh, it was early last week because that was a was it a Tuesday, Wednesday, or was it Monday, Tuesday?
I think it was Monday, Tuesday.
I think you're right. I think it was Monday, Tuesday of last week. And Horning right now is one shot off of first place there with Katie Bettsworth. But can you name me another sport in terms of, hey, I want to get right back out there. Football, you win the state championship, you win a Super Bowl, whatever. You want to basically bask in that glow for weeks, for months. You're like, I don't want to play another game for a little bit. You know, basketball, you're a little bit tired. You know, there's all-star games and those sorts of things. But golf, it's like state champs, that's great. Yeah, I really want to swing those sticks again.
There's no other sport like it, that's
not
for
many.
Sure. There's
I can't think of them.
There's no other sport like it. And it's not like, hey, we're out here just playing 18 for fun. I mean, we got competitive golf going on here. These people are trying to win this thing at the end of the day. So definitely really cool that they have tournaments like this in the summer, in my opinion.
No doubt about it. So that continues here today down south at the Bluffs in Vermilion. It's the SDGA Sanford International Series. We'll keep our eyes posted to that throughout the afternoon, and we'll certainly have more updates on that in our 2-minute sports update tomorrow morning across all your Hub City Radio family of stations. Amateur baseball from yesterday, you had Post 9. That's a Milbank squad, if memory serves correctly. They were all over the Badgers in Game 2 in particular. Very close Game 1, 3-2 your final tally. And then Game 2, it was a laugher, 16-2, a final in 5 innings there too. So a nice two-day, or a nice doubleheader sweep, if you will, for the Post 9 squad.
Well, I mean, you see that a lot, I feel like, in these doubleheaders. Maybe you have a guy go, one of your better pitchers go Game 1, Game 2. Can you get the offense going? If you have another really good pitcher start in Game 2, you're going to be successful. So you see those scores a lot at the Legion, the amateur level. Like, hey, maybe a close Game 1, Game 2, not as close. And pretty impressive there from Post 9, getting the bats rolling. Maybe that was a point of emphasis in Game 2. Like, hey, we got to be a little – yes, we came away with the win in Game 1, but our offense needs to be a little bit better in Game 2, and they showed that there against the Badgers there. That only went 5 innings, and that saves your pitching, too. That's something else you notice a lot. Like, hey, if you can 10-run a team, we're going to try to do it. We're going to still play aggressive because we want to save arms and energy throughout the season. It's a long baseball season in the South Dakota summers, man.
I feel like, especially in amateur baseball, Legion baseball, all these sorts of things, I don't want to say that the unwritten rules of baseball are out of the window, but they're kind of close because you can do that. You can 10-run a team and basically be done for the day. You know, in the MLB, if you are, you know, stealing from second to third, you know, next thing you know, you're going to have a fastball in your ribs.
Yep.
This is not the case in Legion baseball, amateur baseball. It's like, we want to get this thing over so we can move on to our next matchup.
That's exactly right. I mean, those unwritten rules are kind of, I mean, obviously, you're not going to steal third or things like that when you're up big, but you will see teams steal first or steal second to get that guy in scoring position. If it's an 8-run game in the fourth inning, they're going to try to get those 2 runs to make it a 10-run game. It's just how it's played. It's aggressive baseball, and I talk about it all the time. If you can get that guy to third, your chances of scoring are very high because it puts a lot of pressure on these pitchers and catchers. You know, you can't just spike a curveball if you don't trust the catcher.
Yeah.
Because that could get back to the backstop. And you can score 2 runs easily at this level by not putting the ball in play, whether it's pass balls, wild pitches, straight up walks. I mean, that's the difference right there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So kind of interesting. And also, oh, by the way, speaking of the jump from yesterday, you sent me that text message. Was it the Huron game?
32, yeah, Huron post 7, 32-14 over Shadron post 12.
32 runs, oh my gosh. And that's, oh, by the way, that's who the Aberdeen Smitties are taking on here today. So might be a good time to get Huron.
Yeah, I mean, you played they won the game, Huron did, but
it's a bad time to get Huron, I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to make adjustments. I mean, they put up 23 runs in the final 2 innings of that game. They had 27 RBIs. So it's not like it was, you know, they did walk 17 times. But it they walked 17 times in the game, yeah. But they had a lot of extra base hits. I was going through the box score. I wish I had it in front of you. There was a lot of extra base hits. But, yeah, that just imagine sitting there in that game. I mean, that it was a 7-2 ball game.
It was close.
I mean, that's relative. It's not close. It's relative.
Closer.
It's a competitive game.
Yeah.
7-2 going into the final. It's almost like, hey, you know what? We're just going to, you know, just lob it in there. We're going to play a little
long toss.
Yeah, a little softball. Everybody throw and eat this. and we'll see how many runs we score.
I cannot believe that. You sent me that text message on Sunday night. My eyes almost came out of my skull. My jaw dropped. I was like, how does that happen?
46, 9 combined errors. Yep. Again, that's the thing. I mean, 9 combined errors, 46 combined runs, and like 40 hits combined. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
It's amazing. And I tell you what, how many times have we seen a game, you look at the box score, and it's kind of a little bit lopsided, and you say, all right, how many walks? Wow, 8 walks. That's a lot.
My thing is, like, what's the manager say to the team after that on both sides?
I don't know.
Like,
burn the film? We're moving on to the next
one? I don't know. Even, like, here on post 7, like, yeah, you scored 32 runs. What do you say? Like, great job? You know?
I think it's just kind of the standard – hey, guys, today was just one of those days.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you are getting one of those days.
Today's just one of those days. What does that mean?
I don't know.
It's baseball. It's one of those days. It's one of those things. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some softball. Sarah Hagberg, she'll be joining us right here on FSA. Rocking and rolling for a Tuesday installment of The Hub on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and we are pleased to be joined on the phone line by the Class B state champion head coach of the Cardinals of Dual, Sarah Hagberg. She joins us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. And I loved asking the old dumb broadcasting cliched question because it's in my nature. Class B state champion, how does that sound? That's quite the accomplishment. How does it feel?
I'm still in awe. I wake up now the last couple mornings at home, and I'm just like, wow. Every time I pull up Facebook or look at the internet anywhere, it's Katrina said it too. She's like, I just keep seeing pictures of myself everywhere and all the little interviews we did, and it's really starting to sink in now, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I was reading a story, and it was kind of this 3 years in the making. Felt like you guys were knocking at the door the last couple of years, and you put it all together this year. Pretty special with this group of kids, right? Being able to just get better each year, and now you reach the mountaintop in this third year of this thing.
For sure. Yeah, the last 2 years, it was just, I mean, it was awesome to make it, because except for the first year, there was, you know, always some teams that didn't get a game. But then all the winners move on, the losers get to stay home. So it was a privilege to be one of the top 8 for the first 2 years, and coming in this year with the number 1 seed for the better part of the last or over last month here. It felt like what we had worked for, and I knew we could get there. But we still had to play the game to see if we could actually keep it and actually keep going. And man, the girls played tough this weekend. It was fun.
Well, we'll certainly take a look at each of these matchups, Avon, Alcester, Hudson, and Gayville Valin. But how did we do? How did Aberdeen do? Did we do a good job of hosting? How was the ambiance, the atmosphere, and all that good stuff? I'm sure you guys got an opportunity to eat some food here in the Hub City. How did Aberdeen host?
Of course. Every year, I think you guys do awesome. We love the hospitality. This year, we always go out to eat every year. The only difference for us for going out to eat was every year we go down to Roma's for some pasta, and they weren't open again yet because it sounds like they had a fire a while back. So that was our one change we did this year. We had to switch our plans there. But new thing this year for us, which Cassidy let us use the dome for hitting practice, and she had her pitching machine sitting down there and just let us have access to all that, which we went over there 2 days in a row, and that was super nice, and the people are awesome. I think I talked to Dawn on the way out, and she's like, I'm like, thank you so much, great tournament, and she's like, see you next year. I'm like, you bet, I'll be back. So
for sure. And did you, when my guess is when you won that first game, you were playing a little bit later in the day, both Friday as well as Saturday, so did you spend a lot of time then with the pitching machine at the facility, things of that? Did your morning stay the same going for the semifinal to the final game, or how did that all work?
Yeah, that first game was at 10, you know, on Thursday, so we had kind of it was kind of nice. I liked it. We got up, ate breakfast, got ready, and then headed over to the field, so that was kind of nice. We didn't have time to figure out what to do with, but Friday then our game wasn't until 2, so we got up, ate breakfast, went and hit in the dome for about an hour, came back, got ready, you know, braided hair. That was a big thing that took a lot of our time, and then went over to the field. And same thing then for for Saturday, kind of a little bit. I said, if you guys keep winning, I'm going to keep moving our breakfast times a little bit later so you can sleep a little more. So I moved them back on for them every time they won because our game got later. So we had a little bit later breakfast, went over the dome again for about an hour, came back, got ready, braided hair, had to pack up and get out of the hotel and went and watched some ball games, you know, and then started getting ready for ours. So, yep.
Sarah Hagberg, head coach of the Dual Cardinals, joining us on FSA. It's very similar to us on the Sports Hub, Coach. You know, right before we get on the air, Matt and I, we do each other's hair and just make sure that we're in good shape and ready to go. I'm still working on my braid. It's not the best, but
sometimes we match coming in, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm matching today, but you know, sometimes we do match.
I mean, I do have two daughters now, so you know, I'm working on the hair. It's something. It's
there you go.
It's a work in progress. Very much of the case.
Yes. You know, we had a lot of pink or pinkish red hair dye going on this weekend, and a lot of glitter all over our hair. So I'm not sure if the people at the hotel loved us or not, but we were very festive this weekend.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, these are things. It's all part of the experience. There's no two ways about it. And you know, Matt talks about that first win. You know, kind of feels like you're a little bit more loose. You can kind of relax a little bit. But candidly, Matt and I were looking in the SODAC 16. Your matchup against Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy. That's the 16 versus 1 pairing. More often than not, those are pretty lopsided affairs. Not the case for you guys. It was close. It was a nip and tuck battle. 5-2, your final. Were you surprised? Were you nervous coming into Aberdeen? Because you're like, these are games in theory that should be pretty lopsided. Not the case. But you found a way to get the job done. Was it just kind of one of those strange games, the way it all unfolded there in the SODAC 16? Or was it just, hey, you know, that 16 team was actually pretty doggone good?
You know, last year we had it in our mind the whole time. And last year in the SODAC 16, the number 16 Elkton, Lake Benton, upset the number 1 Bonhomme. So that was in the back of our minds the whole time. And we're like, we got to come out here and play. And we just got such a slow start in that SODAC game. We just couldn't get much rolling, or we were hitting it right to them. You know, eventually, you know, we did win, but I knew they weren't going to go down without a fight because they also had known last year there was a big upset to get to the state tournament, and everybody wants to get there. So I was glad we came out on top. It was a little more of a battle than I was hoping for. But coming into the state, I was like, this is going to be a tough tournament. There's going to be 8 very solid teams here in Class B, and yeah, we're sitting as the number 1 seed, but as we saw, no one's going to just roll over and let us just go right by them. We were ready for battle and some good games.
Well, you certainly had a couple really good ones in this state tournament, a 2-1 game versus Alchester Hudson, and then against Gayville Violin 3-1. Those are some close games that are coming down to the wire. Saw that your daughter Katrina was unbelievable on the hill, pitched all those games in the game against Gayville Violin, 15 strikeouts. I mean, talk about a big-time effort on the hill to keep you guys in the game and then able to get some runs there to push you past those teams.
Right. Just like, you know, pretty much most of our games that we've played, Katrina has been a huge part of our success just because she does throw very consistent. She's gotten so much more power the last couple of years, so much more consistent. I think she hit a total of 5 people all year out of 122 innings or whatever. That didn't seem like such a bad stat anymore. And she's just been able to keep it close. And over the last couple of months, I've really noticed she can look at where the batter's standing and know what pitch to throw. You know, whether anybody else can see it like she does, she can figure it out, and she watches their swing and watches where the foul ball went, and she's really become a good student of the game and figured it out for us. So that was huge. And she did. She just had a fantastic tournament. I think I added 44 strikeouts for the whole thing. So
not too shabby. Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. And when you win a state championship, I think you get more eyes on a program, and it's not just for her. It's for everybody else, certainly. But my question, I guess, would be for Katrina in terms of, is she playing at the next level anywhere? I mean, when you have an ERA over a season of 1.7 and you're a state champion and you put up numbers like that, you start to get some eyeballs on you. Has she been contacted by some? Is she in contact with others? Would she like to play softball at the next level?
Yeah, she had. We've been doing the prospect camps and the recruiting camps and the exposure camps for the last 2 years. all the time. And she was like, Mom, I'm kind of tired of these. I'm like, I know. But we're just trying to get our feelers out there and see what's out there. She actually has already signed with Mount Marty down in Yankton. So she will be going down there to play softball. So.
I was looking yesterday, the 2025 NEC All-Conference softball team was announced, and obviously Katrina made that, but another couple gals from your squad made it, Aubrey Lanners, Ella Holden. Were they kind of the, I don't want to say unsung heroes of your squad because, you know, you're All-Conference, but you know, they had really good years as well.
Correct. Yeah. Aubrey was my eighth grader coming in, relief pitcher. Probably didn't give her as many innings on the mound as she would have liked. But I said, you know what, girl, you got the next 4 years. You're coming. You're going to get them all pretty soon here. So she has a huge bat, and she had a home run in that first game with against Avon for us just to get our momentum and our lead right away, and we kept it. And then Elle is our she's our catcher. And when you have a, you know, two pitchers or a pitcher that throws as much and as hard as Katrina does, she is a workhorse back there. And she, yeah, definitely unsung hero, doesn't get all the credit, you know, because if she drops the ball, then everyone's like, oh, you know, gives her a hard time or whatever. But, man, she works hard back there.
Sarah Hagberg, head coach of the Dual Cardinals, joining us on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday. So you win the whole thing, of course, against Gayville Violin, 3-1, very, very close matchup there. Those final two, like Matt had mentioned, very, very close. So walk us through game day. You know, was it? Did you guys want to do basically all of the same things, kind of getting prepared for that one? I know you talk about those later breakfasts and headed over to the Aberdeen Dome and that sort of thing, but you kind of get into the heat of battle. It's one error here. It's one walk batter. You know, that can be the start of something really, really big. Kind of take us through the ups and downs and the emotion of a state championship game.
Oh, man. When we got over there that day, we had to get out of our hotel, of course. So we got over there a little earlier than I would have liked to have been just sitting around. But we kind of found some shade and were able to watch, you know, some good games before us, some of those placing games before us. And when it was our turn to go warm up, you know, I tried to keep it normal. And they're like, do you want us to set up a net and hit? Yep, just like we always do. And then we'll do some, you know, fly balls in the outfield. And then we'll hit some grounders on the edges over here. And, okay, pitchers, catchers, yep, go warm up when you're ready. And we tried to keep it loose. And the girls didn't seem overly nervous. I mean, I don't know if it's because we actually won a couple in a row or some of them have been there 3 years in a row now. And we know it's still just a game, but it's, albeit an important one, but it was still just a game. And they really warmed up loose. And even the first inning in that championship game, we made contact. We might not have got on base or, you know, get a hit all the way through, but almost everybody was contacting the ball. So I knew we were going to be okay and our bats were going to find it there, you know, in those next innings.
It looked like Gayville Violin, they had a little rally there in the sixth. They were able to get a run. And then in the seventh, they reached on a drop third strike. But outside of that, you were able to kind of, you know, weather the storm. Can you kind of walk us through those last couple of innings, the sixth and the seventh? Because you're playing with the lead. You're so close. All you need is you're probably counting outs at that point. Am I right on that?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, when they got that, the runner got on and then – or I don't even remember how she got on and stole. And then the one hit kind of – it looped kind of right over our second baseman. You know, nobody was really that close to it. It was just a good base hit. And she came around, and I was like, okay, well, I'm glad we had three at least, and we weren't just still sitting at 2-1, because I don't know if my heart could take another 2-1 game up there. But it felt pretty good. Once we got out of that, we knew we needed three outs. They probably weren't in their favorite spot of the lineup coming up. I was okay with where they were. I think we were at 6, 7, and 8 or something like that. And, struck out the first one or whatever, and then – I know Elle was a drop third strike. She threw it to first, and our first baseman dropped it or couldn't find it. And it was just kind of a perfect storm there. And I was like, okay, no worries. We don't need to panic. And then when she finally did get that, I'm pretty sure I was holding my breath for a couple batters there. But when she finally did get that last strike, which happened to be a, looking backwards K there, it felt pretty good.
Well, I'm glad you weren't panicking, because I would be. You know, you kind of get into that, oh, my gosh, you need something kooky, something funky to happen to kind of come back and win a game like that. And then when that happens, the coaches are like, oh, man, I wasn't worried. I would be, so good for you, not being worried about that. But a couple more here with Sarah Hagberg on FSA, and we saw the photo on 605 Sports of you hoisting that crown, that trophy. What's that moment like to, you know, take that trophy back to Duell's place and celebrate it with your daughter and the whole community?
That was so fun. Like the last 2 years, you know, winning the last game and at least getting the seventh instead of eighth was amazing at that point. But now looking back, this is so much cooler. This is the only way that we could have finished this season that would have felt the right way, because we had such a good season and we came back and both buses or vans or whatever were loud and rowdy all the way back home. We had a little welcome home then the next night, and several members of our community came out, and we had all the trophies all laying around. And it was just fun to celebrate the girls and celebrate, you know, what a good season we had. And lots of Facebook messages, lots of comments, you know, everyone, you know, we're so proud. Good job. You know, you guys deserve this. It's just been really fun to see.
Has it been kind of fun having a microphone in your face? It seems like the last couple of days, and my guess is probably everybody's trying to get quotes and interviews and everything like that. It's got to be pretty cool, right, for your program?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It's like after every game, it was either Aubrey or Katrina or a couple other players, myself. The last game, we were kind of in a rush to get out of there due to some weather, and I think I had three of them going at the same time in front of me, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness, it's kind of overwhelming. But it's been fun to go back now and find all the articles and all the pictures that were taken over the weekend and catch up with it. So, yeah.
A lot of bookmarks, a lot of likes and a lot of retweets and shares and all that good stuff. And, you know, don't be afraid to print out some and you know, go ahead and frame them in your living room or something like that. It'd be pretty cool.
Right.
So enjoy the basking in the glow here for the next, you know, couple days, couple weeks, couple months. And, of course, you know, you'll be going for back-to-back next year. So looking forward to that here and following your squad. And maybe you've caught up on all those text messages. I'm sure we had Kim Zimmerman in here, head coach of Aberdeen Central, and he said he had over 100 text messages on his phone. It's just like, how does one sift through that? I have no idea, but I'm sure probably
being like an automatic thanks button.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bingo. Boom, boom, boom. Thanks a lot. But congratulations again, coach, and we'll talk to you later on down the road, and congratulations.
All right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Sarah Hagberg, head coach of the Duell Cardinals, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And to get that done with your daughter and a state championship, how amazing would that feel to hoist that crown and hoist that trophy? And that's got to be like heaven on earth or something like that. That's got to be so cool.
Yeah, definitely cool. And just how it ended with the 15 strikeouts,
yeah,
and just having it end like with a strikeout from your daughter, I think is got to be pretty cool. Like,
mm-hmm,
that's the last out. And that moment, you could see the picture. They pretty much, you know, ran through Katrina Hagberg all season and what she did on the mound. We talk about it all the time.
Yes, we do.
You have to have a dominant pitcher to win a state championship in softball,
mm-hmm,
in South Dakota. If you have that, you're going to have an opportunity at the end. The fact that you throw 21 innings, I mean, that's amazing by itself to me, how these pitchers at softball, they don't get tired.
Mm-mm.
Because they can just throw. You know, I think it's the underhand motion. It doesn't put as much stress if you were throwing overhand. But if you have somebody that can get out, you're going to be successful. There were times in this Gayville-Violin game where they had runners on, runner at first. They got an RBI single in the sixth. They got a runner on in the seventh. But when you have a pitcher that can bear down and just not worry about it, you're going to be successful. They won the last two games a combined 5-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, right? I mean, it's a team that's been so dominant all year, scoring, you know, sometimes 11 runs. I saw a game they played 18 runs.
Yeah.
You get here to the state tournament, you score 9 in the first game, and the final two, you win 2-1 and 3-1. It's impressive.
I mean, my palms would be sweaty the whole game. And the fact that she's saying, I'm not nervous, I don't know. Maybe that's just coach speak. I would be super duper nervous.
Plus, that's your daughter on the mound.
I'd be a little nervous. But I mean, she knew what was coming. She knew that she was going to mow her down.
Yeah, and that's just the confidence. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you just got to go with what you got you there, and you got to have the confidence that she's able to get it done, and she did. And what a performance from Dole. This is a team that's been knocking at the door. I said it yesterday. They've been right there the last couple of years, and this kind of seemed like the year of destiny, but it's not always guaranteed that you're going to, A, get back to a state tournament, and then, B, make a run at. We saw it all throughout double A. Outside of A, there were the 1 and 2 seeds, one at West Central. They played, I forget who they played.
Sioux Falls Lincoln, maybe?
No, Sioux Falls Lincoln was double A. They lost. Yeah. They were the 1 seed, and
right,
they lost. So, like, you didn't see the 1 and 2 seeds and everything. And mm-hmm. I think South Dakota high school softball right now is at a good spot. I think it's going to get better as the pitching gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start seeing more summer kind of programs of more not slow pitch but fast pitch, you're going to start seeing even more teams get more competitive.
Final second for your Tuesday of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details of the new signees for the Northern States men's basketball squad. It's not an official release. I just wrote something up last night because we're kind of in that time of the year where there's not a whole lot to really kind of hit on.
Did see about 8 or 9 on X, so I was like, you know, shout out Brendan Phillips, too, by the way.
Absolutely. That'll be cool to see. A couple of local guys for sure. Lane Teets, Brendan Phillips, a couple of guys there locally. Nelson Reynolds, a guard from Peoria, IL, transfer from Southeastern. But they're bringing in guys from the University of Denver, Mo Western, UMary, Westminster. So all over the map there for head coach Matt Wilbur.
Yeah, a lot. And, you know, he said as much, like, hey, we're going to attack the transfer portal. They certainly do that. You know, you get some of those players, you just got to see what happens, right? I mean, now it's about you get the players in. Now it's start about building the team, right? And that team chemistry.
Culture.
That's where it begins right now for NSU. You get the players in here. Now it's time to get that chemistry going.
All right. On the pro side of things, Minnesota Twins, of course, off yesterday. They're back in action tonight, taking on the Texas Rangers. 6:40 for your first pitch on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And it was a lot to a little last night. Game 3, Panthers down the Oilers 6-1. Florida leads that series 2-1 now.
Called it. That's all I'll say. Yeah. I think the Panthers got the upper hand. I like them in this series. I wouldn't be surprised if they win Game 4, get up 3-1.
Because Edmonton won Game 1 in overtime. Was it 4-3?
Yeah, 4-3 overtime. Game 2 went overtime, and Florida stole that one. They had no business winning. They come back home 6-1. Edmonton, you got to wake up. I don't like their chances moving forward.
We're back at it on the Hub tomorrow.